Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
We know what Brandon Whedon is.
He ain't great.
But do we think he's better than what Tom Savage was?
Absolutely.
To me, the answer is yes.
Well, we both said that last year. I don't think the guy is any good, but as a backup goes, you can do a lot worse. And you've seen him in their system. So I'm okay with this. And I don't know that you're going to go out there and get anybody that's a light years better at this stage to be your backup quarterback. Go look at Blake Bortles 2015. 4,400 yards, 35 TDs, 18 picks. High volume yards, high volume touchdowns, lots of turnovers. Cousins a better version of that.
Show me the year where Kirk Cousins had 18 interceptions.
This is your new Jay Cutler. This is your new project that you're going to turn Kirk Cousins into a top five quarterback.
I'm not trying to say he's a top five quarterback, but you're putting him in a category that he doesn't belong in.
I said he's a better Blake Bortles.
Well, okay, well, he's a lesser Tom Brady. It sounds stupid, doesn't it?
No, that's not even
it. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, you really were going Stephen A. there. We're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow part, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, you can skip AJ screaming at me for the first 30 minutes about his new favorite quarterback.
I was Stephen A. Smith because Fred decided to be Skip Bayless.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. All kinds of good stuff, though, on podcastarena.com. Go check it out. And also, welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners. Did you see our new desk out there in the hallway?
I did see it. What'd you think?
I think it's interesting. They're going to be setting us up so that we'll look good on live stream. So we'll see how that goes. But, pretty good first 2 hours. I mentioned a poker rule change that they're talking about in tournaments that I'm kind of interested in, kind of curious what you think. How do you feel about – I'm not a fan of antes in a tournament.
I don't like it either.
But it's in a lot of them, right?
Yeah. That's that's when everything gets confusing.
Yeah.
Like, if you want action, just keep upping the blinds.
Well, here's something they're trying in a couple tournaments that basically once a round, one player pays all the antes. So essentially you're creating a third blind. So instead of everybody having to put in, say, $100 ante, you'll have one guy put in $1,000 each round. So, like, move from person to person.
I'd be okay with that, I think.
It's easier to follow and easier to keep track of.
Who is it? Or are you talking about, is it going to be like the person behind the
blinds?
Well,
that's still what they're discussing. Is it going to be the button?
I think that's the way to do it.
Probably would be the button. But the idea is a consolidated ante.
I'd be okay with that.
I don't hate it.
I'd rather just get rid of antes altogether.
Yeah, but there's some tournaments are just never going to do it. And especially in the bigger tournaments, it's always going to be part of it. So... But the idea of just basically saying, okay, once around, it would change your strategy, too. If you know that's coming to you and you're short stacked, you're probably moving with a wider range. And, I think it would, I don't know if it creates the same action that everybody having antes in would, but maybe it creates more. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of an interesting thing to think about. Okay, that's a poker for the day.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay. Ken Hoffman wrote on Culture Map about all the new stuff at Minute Maid Park, and we also ran it on Sports Map. See the Texas Rangers new stuff that they're trotting out?
I saw a little bit of it yesterday. Tyler said something about like a fried pickle corn dog or something.
This sounds like the worst thing ever. It's called the Dilly Dog, which...
Dilly Dilly?
Well, now if they... poured Bud Light on it and called it a dilly dilly dog, it would probably be better than this. I hate pickles. Let's start with that. This is a dill pickle cored out and then stuffed with an Angus beef jumbo dog. Then it's all deep fried.
So, I'm actually interested in this.
Oh, God. Pickle?
I love pickles.
Ugh. Pickles are gross.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I don't like pickles. I don't like hot dogs. So this is a no-go for me.
I like hot dogs on occasion, but I like to go to some place that does kind of gourmet dogs. Like like Good Dog Houston has some really good ones. I had one a couple weeks ago. I can't remember where it was, but it was really good. But I don't eat a lot of them. So
I'm just out on it. I think there's better things to do with meat than turn it into a hot dog.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather just have plain sausage. But a dilly dog I will not be trying. I'm just going to point that out. Plus, I'm kind of dillied out. I think the commercial has...
You're over it?
Yeah.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Hey, I've got another airplane story for you.
Okay.
About a woman got bumped from a flight on United. It was $163. She managed to turn it into a $10,000 travel voucher.
I saw that.
Yeah. So
good for her.
Basically what happened, she was flying United from Dulles in Washington to Austin. So she's headed to Austin, right? Allegedly, the plane had a broken seat. Okay. And that meant that they didn't have room for one passenger because the flight was booked to capacity, as they often do. The agents announced the flight was oversold. They offered 800 in travel vouchers. By the way, Travel Hint, never take the first offer because they will wind up doubling it at some point. So if they're offering 800, you can easily get 1,500 or 1,600. Nobody bit. They offered 1,000. Nobody bit. Then they raised it to 2,000. Nobody bit.
Nobody bit there.
I would have taken the 2,000.
Where were they at?
Washington to get to Austin. And so finally they announced that the passenger who paid the lowest fare would be pulled off the flight, which I think is fair, so to speak. But yeah.
So whoever paid the least got pulled off the flight?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
If there's a broken chair, you're not going to go get another plane and hold these people up for 2 hours.
Right.
So she was going to a bachelorette party in Austin. She paid the lowest fare. They offered her a $2,000 travel credit, but she said she only wanted cold hard cash. They were so intent on not giving cash that they finally offered her a $10,000 voucher.
She took that.
Yeah. So they really do not want to give me cash. They just offered me $10,000 in travel credit. 10,000 all caps.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. I would take that.
Yeah.
I don't care where I'm going.
Yeah, she was bitching, though. She's like, says, offering $1,000 in travel credit for an oversold flight. If nobody bites, they will kick off the lowest fare passenger by pulling them out of the boarding line for a flight they oversold. Unreal. And then all caps, I am the lowest fare passenger. They're kicking me off this flight. And then they really then got down to the 10,000, and she's like, yeah. $10,000 in travel credit, I would take that. I wouldn't be bitching about it. Says they tried to get me to sign a document that says I volunteered my seat on the plane when I was involuntarily denied boarding. She got $10,000.
Yeah,
that's a good deal. I think the most I've ever gotten in travel credit is probably $2,500 for something like this. And I just kept waiting, and it's like I knew. I mean, I kind of wanted to take a later flight anyway, and it was only like 4 hours to wait.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'll take $2,500 for that.
Yeah.
But.
Usually if it gets to the thousands, I'm in. Like.
Yeah.
That's if you're going to inconvenience me for a night, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and in some cases, if I get to stay overnight and you're going to put me up,
yeah,
I'll do that. If I don't have to get back. And plus, well, I always insist on automatic first class upgrade too. That's on the next flight. Yeah, because they'll pretty much always do that. So on the poker tournaments, what happens when a player can't cover all the antes? I'm pretty sure it's just like not being able to cover your small blind or big blind.
You're in for what you're in for.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. You know what I got one more of? One more four-pack. To Sam Houston Race Park. Hang out with me in the special ESPN section this Friday night from 7 until 9. It's 50-cent beer night. And don't forget about the special suite packages starting at just $2.99, and it comes with food and beverages. Get all the info and tickets at shrp.com. Make sure you are available Friday night to come hang out and be caller number 20.
Mm-hmm. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
So I've got another quarterback for you. Let me see if we can get you to go off on this guy. Who do you think is the most NFL-ready quarterback in the draft?
Josh Rosen.
You think?
Yeah. I like Darnold better than him long-term, but I think Josh Rosen is the guy who could show up tomorrow and can have some success.
Well, your answer is incorrect if you believe one of the quarterbacks.
I don't.
All right, so who would you have second, just out of curiosity?
Darnold.
Okay. Third?
Baker Mayfield.
Where would you rank John O'Korn?
Oh, God. Man, listen, it's John O'Korn's a weird case because it seems like 2 years ago, wasn't John O'Korn like a legit prospect? People thought he could play in the NFL?
No, it was longer than that.
No, he was a four-star recruit here, and he had a really good freshman season, and then he completely sucked. Greg Ward replaced him, and UH was good after that.
And then he transferred to Michigan.
And then he sucked every time he played there.
He wasn't good there.
Well, he says, honestly, I think I'm the most NFL-ready quarterback in the draft, just as far as terminology and knowing what to do on a day-to-day basis, game planning. I was part of the game plan meetings with Coach Harbaugh, Coach Pep Hamilton, the whole staff, all last fall. So just on a day-to-day basis, what it takes to be an NFL quarterback, I think I would choose myself over any other guy in this draft in that regard.
Okay. Hey, good for you.
I'm going to go with you're not going to get drafted, and nor should you.
Together. Oh, better than everybody else. Get out of here.
Yeah.
No thanks. I pass.
Yeah, I saw that the Titans and a couple other teams worked out Kyle Allen, too, if we're going to talk about other guys who did not live up to expectations. 713-780-ESPN.
Not Josh Allen. Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. Or you accidentally said Kyle Allen one day when you met Josh. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
AJ has lost his mind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you do that Kirk Cousins argument, you still lose it. So, Larry Brown's 10 best moves of the NFL offseason. You tell me too high, too low for these. Number 10, the Eagles getting Michael Bennett. Well, is he going to jail?
That would make a pretty big difference.
I mean, he did roll a wheelchair home or woman.
Yeah, I'll go. That's probably about right.
Texans signing Tyrann Mathieu.
It's hard to say too high or too low. Basically,
it feels a little low to me, but I'm higher on him than you are. So,
yeah, I'll say that's about right.
Number 8, Browns acquiring Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry.
I mean, that's two players. I think that might be even be too low.
Okay. Patriots trade for Danny Shelton and Jason McCourty.
That's probably maybe too low too. Those are guys that they fill some holes they needed.
Yeah. They still have no offensive line, but they've certainly helped that defense. Number 6, the Raiders hiring John Gruden as head coach. Yeah. That shouldn't even be in the top 10. Number 5, and I would have this one much higher, Jaguars sign Andrew Norwell.
Oh, I think that's too low, too, yeah.
I think that was the best signing of the free agent period.
With the exception of maybe Kirk Cousins.
Well, as far as impact goes, Cousins would have a bigger impact. But yeah. As far as the best player, I think Norwell. Number 4, Giants get Nate Solder and Alec Ogletree.
That's pretty good. That seems about right.
Number 3... Jets move up to number 3 in the draft.
Man, that might be too low. I mean, they stole that. I mean, they got the Colts stole from them.
Well, no, but the Jets they're saying the Jets moving up is
that's
the best
big move.
Yeah,
I think the
Colts on that. Yeah, I agree. Number 2, the Bills swapped their way to a great position. I do like what they did. I don't know if I'd put that number 2.
Yeah, because they still ended up, they're still number 12.
Yeah.
So are they still going to get the guy they want? I don't know.
It's hard to say.
It gives them a chance. They still have another pick they can move up with. But, yeah, I don't know if that might be too high.
And number one, the Vikings signing Kirk Cousins.
That's an obvious one.
Yeah, I think I would have that one. I would have Norwell, too, on my list. And I'd say the Colts making that move would be three.
That should be up there.
So, and then I think the Giants are up there as well. But 713-780-ESPN. Let's grab a call real quick. Boosh. You're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports boys. So I got a quick game for what body part could you live without? So I'm going to name seven body parts. So you got a right eye, a right arm, right leg, left leg, and your ears, your hearing is one. You only get 3 points. That's 7 points total. You only get 3 points. What do you keep?
So you've got to get rid of four of your body parts?
I didn't.
Yeah. So you. Yeah.
I mean, that's absurd.
Is Michael Bennett going to push me over trying to get on the field?
No. I mean, if I had to keep, I mean, you obviously have to keep at least one of your eyes. So I would let go of one eye. I would keep my right arm. I'd probably lose the left arm. I want to keep that hearing, too.
You can lose one ear, though.
No, he just said the ears count as one.
Oh. Well,
so I'll keep my hearing, one eye, and my right arm. And I'll lose my left arm, my right eye, my left leg, and my right leg. I'll just be a legless, one-armed man.
That's it. There's no point to it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the point is. Is somebody going to come and chop off limbs here?
No, what would you look like?
I didn't really pay attention to the point scale.
Everything's 1 point. Left eye, right eye, left arm, left leg, right leg, ears. You get to keep three of those things.
I'd keep one eye.
One eye for sure. That's like the obvious thing.
Yeah. I guess I'd do the same thing, an arm and no legs.
Yeah, and keep your hearing.
Yeah.
My hearing's pretty lame.
Because,
anyway.
I mean, what good is one leg?
Yeah, one leg does
no
good.
If you keep both legs, then I might give up the hearing.
Yeah.
Because an arm and two legs, I'd still feel pretty, I'd feel okay about that.
And where's your arm getting hacked off at? The shoulder?
I'm guessing, yeah. It's got to be, right?
Or elbow.
It's got to be shoulder, because if it's elbow. Now, and are you allowed to get prosthetics?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case.
That's why legs, I was thinking I'd be like Oscar Pistorius.
Maybe I keep the legs and get prosthetic arms.
I think technology makes it tougher to use like hands and stuff, like, because you want full function of your hand, right? Like you could be a blade runner if you had the legs.
I mean, if I can just like type with my plastic hands, like, I'd be okay.
You know what? Just take both my arms and legs, and I'll be like Stephen Hawking in a wheelchair, like with a tube in my mouth.
Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Don't argue with me.
I would yell if I could, but I can no longer yell.
Oh, man. How the hell did we get on that again?
Yeah, I don't know.
713-780-ESPN. That might have been one of the most pointless exercises ever.
I mean, this is the same show that talked about how many 5-year-olds you could beat in a fight.
See, I think that's a legitimate question, though. I mean, if you're talking about somebody's got to come chop your arms and legs off, that's something like you get caught by some Hannibal Lecter dude, and he's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you keep these things. But, I mean, if that happens, you're probably dead anyway, because then he's going to eat them.
Yeah.
I mean, how many 5-year-olds you could beat up is a legitimate question. That might actually happen. There might be a 5-year-old uprising one of these days.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are today. He says, guys, you can get Darth Vader arms. Now, well, yeah, if I could get all Darth Vader stuff, cool. I'll keep my eyes and ears, and you can give me...
Yeah.
Give me that badass outfit that he's got. I don't know about having the radio on my chest. That might be a little bit much. But, yeah, if I could get bionic arms and things, I'll sign up for that tomorrow. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, there's too many variables to this. I can't play this game.
What if your dong was thrown in the conversation?
No, I got to keep
Would you
that.
Give up that spare eye for the...
No. Well, yeah, spare
would you rather eye. Be, would you rather be blind or not have a penis?
That's actually not a slam dunk.
That's a real, like, yeah. That's a conundrum.
Yeah.
What about you, Jong? Blind or no penis?
Man. I might have to go... I like to see.
I like to see, too, but I also...
Well, because...
I also enjoy the pleasures of the flesh.
Yeah, but you see more than you use your flesh.
Like, the thing is, if you couldn't see... I mean, how much would you really care about using your penis? Like,
then, well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Although,
but imagine,
I'm sure blind people have some really good sex.
Yeah, but, man, like
that heightened sense of, yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know how we get on these things.
I don't know. We've had a caller do that.
Okay.
It's the caller's fault.
I blame him. All right, we'll take
How did we get here?
Well, you died and went on to whatever is next. That's how you got there.
Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So I found this list, and like depends on who you believe. But like Sherlock Holmes has had the most films, but Dracula's had the most film appearances because Dracula appears in films that aren't Dracula films.
Right.
And I found this
mostly Scooby-Doo movies.
No, things like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, here's Dracula. Well, and Sherlock Holmes doesn't make a lot of guest appearances in movies. Just doesn't happen. This is the most filmed characters ever. So that includes nonfiction people and borderline fiction people. Number 10 is Hamlet. Number 9 is Sherlock Holmes. This is the most appearances, right?
Okay.
254 times on screen. They were all Sherlock movies. Abraham Lincoln is number 8. Dracula 7. Hitler 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Napoleon 5.
That's surprising that Hitler doesn't beat out Napoleon.
Yeah, as far as appearances. Of course, Hitler was not in Bill and Ted's. Napoleon was.
Right.
He's been depicted in TV and movies over 337 times. Number 4, God.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. Number 3, Jesus Christ. This also includes television appearances, right, like on The Simpsons and stuff. Number 2, Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
It's appeared on screen over 814 times. And it's not so much just his movies. He's just in everything.
Yeah.
You know, Trading Places. And I bet you would never guess number 1. 848 times he's been shown on screen.
Kevin Bacon.
Close, the devil. The devil's number 1 on the list. So, yeah, that's... Don't ask me why I thought that was interesting. I just did. Let's try a call. David, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Sports.
So I was just wondering what the Texans' biggest need going into the draft is after free agency. Is it offensive tackle or would it be corner? And if it is corner and we take a corner first, does that mean... Like, what do we do with Kareem Jackson? Just throw him at safety or cut him? Or?
Well, first of all, I think Kareem Jackson, there's still use for him as a slot corner.
Well, I think corner is less of a need now that they've signed Colvin, and because you've at least got 4 guys that can play it.
The answer is left tackle.
Yeah.
The problem is there's not a left tackle.
There's guys who might develop into left tackles over time. You also drafted a guy last year who might develop into a left tackle over time. I just think that's a position where you're going to be, I think that's your biggest need, but I don't think you can fill it with 3 third-round picks. I don't see them getting a starting left tackle unless something happens like Brown slips into the second round and they're able to trade up. I could see that, and I could see them throwing him out there in his first year. More realistically, I think they need another running back. They need a tight end. And I think they also need another defensive lineman. You know, we're talking about guys who would provide depth and be in the rotation, but not necessarily starters.
Right.
So,
Josh asked if I'm ready to give the Rockets any sort of a chance to win the title, or are you still refusing to take off the golden tinted glasses? I give the Rockets as much of a chance. I give the Rockets, in fact, a better chance than anyone not named the Warriors to win the title.
So, John, you wanna see AJ yell at me again?
I'm
gonna do a Bayless here. The Warriors are overrated.
Okay,
they're one of the most overrated.
All right.
Come on, you're supposed to bite.
No.
What? So if I yell first, then you just turtle up?
Yeah, I don't care. Because that's not even a, there's not a debate to be had there.
Yeah, I think the I like the Rockets a lot. I'm kind of with AJ on this though. Until they beat them, I don't know that they can. And I'm talking about beating them in the playoffs, not, you know, with a 7-game series, not regular season, you know. Go out there and beat them in a 7-game series. And if they do that, I think they win the title.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed with them. The one thing that keeps – and somebody wrote a column that was about the Rockets are better than you think, because the one stat that really stands out to me, their record when Capella, Harden, and Paul are all on the court.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I know they've lost, like, what, 2 games?
40-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just amazing. And, yeah, if you look at their losses, that's all with one or two of those guys out, with the exception of those two. And so they kind of compared them to the Warriors and to the Bulls and teams like that. And the games they lost were with, you know, when they had all their guys together. And, I mean, it makes a nice little case. But I still think the difference is, and while I think the Rockets are playing at a historically good level, they're still going up against a historically good team that's been there, that knows what to do. And what you hope is that, you know, just the grind of year after year after year wears them down a little bit, and then all these injuries kind of add up. But, yeah, I think if they're both 100%, as much as I'd love to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I think the Rockets can beat them, till they do, I'm going to be skeptical.
I'm with you.
If that makes me an evil, bad person, so be it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be honest here. I mean, I want them to win. I'm sick of the Warriors.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see the local team win for sure, but it's...
Yeah, and I think they've been fun to watch this year, which I think Chris Paul's had a lot to do with
that. I think so, too. That's something that they haven't been in the past, for me anyway. They're a more enjoyable product.
But, you know, it's hard to sit here and predict, oh, yeah, they're going to beat the Warriors, because, yeah, it depends on what Warriors team is up against them. And 2-1 said you still have to beat LeBron in the finals. I know the Rockets have a better team, but experience does matter. It does. I have a sneaking suspicion. I mean, I'd find it hard to bet against LeBron if they get there. I just have a sneaking suspicion somebody's going to catch them before they make it to the finals. But if you're the Rockets, you want to beat the Warriors and the Cavs back-to-back.
Right.
And say, hey.
We did.
Yeah.
And no excuses.
Yeah, suck it, haters.
Mother bleepers.
Yeah, suck it, Hoffman. Suck it, Fowler.
Yeah.
Look what we did. So. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We have one segment left.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. And
look at us.
I have a Hey Man Bleep That I'm really excited about.
All right.
I've
got one. I'm not that excited about it. But
I'm thrilled about mine.
Okay.
I am. John, you got anything here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good. All right. We're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
That? To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas,
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Come join us at Tastemakers April 4th at Silver Street Studios. We'll have amazing cuisine from Houston's top restaurants with an open bar. An open bar to get blitzed, you say? Don't mind if we do. Tickets are on sale now for only $55 at culturemap.com/tastemakers. Grab tickets while they last because tickets at the door are $65. Still a good deal. Damn. But $55, great deal. Get them now. We'll see you guys there. All right, let's do Hey Man Bleep That.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. This is one of my little pet peeves as a former, well, current editor, I guess, and gambler. I saw a headline today on usatoday.com. Your headline says, Texans now odds-on favorites to win AFC South. You know what's wrong with that? What's misuse wrong? Of odds-on. They're not the odds-on favorite. The definition of odds-on is...
They have the best odds?
Is having a better than even money chance to win.
Okay.
So therefore, you're not plus 175 is not odds on. It just means you're the favorite. Odds on favorite would mean there was a minus in front of that number.
Right.
So very simple. So you dickweeds out there misusing phrases.
They are the favorite according to the odds.
They are the favorite. They are not odds on, though.
Exactly.
And if you're going to use these phrases, know what the hell they mean, people. To you, I say, hey, man, fuck that. All right. Jong, you want to go?
No, AJ can go.
You have mine ready to go?
Yeah, it is.
Do you remember Rick Santorum?
Yes, I do. I was hoping to never hear his name again.
I don't want to get too involved in the gun law debate. I think I've said what I think about it on the show before, and I don't really feel like dealing with people arguing with me about it, and I don't want to argue.
Don't you take my guns, AJ.
I'm not trying to take anybody's guns.
Take my guns.
I have guns. I mean, it's just... Yeah, I know. But Rick Santorum... Probably not the best way to Rick Santorum, who, by the way, said everyone should have as many babies as humanly possible, which already, don't get me started on that one either. But here's what Rick Santorum had to say about gun control.
Is this a political effort? Is this a political movement? Very well, maybe, and that's fine. I mean, if the organizers, the people who certainly supported it, the Hollywood elites and the liberal billionaires who funded this, it's all about politics. Is this really all about politics, or is it all about keeping our schools safe? Because if it is about keeping our schools safe, then we have to have much broader discussion than the discussion that's going on right now. How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with situations that where there is a violent shooter that you can actually respond to that?
How are they looking at other people? I would ask you, they took action.
Yeah, they took action to ask someone to pass a law. They didn't take action to say, how do I, as an individual, deal with this problem? How am I going to do something about stopping bullying within my own community? What am I going to do to actually help respond to a shooter? What am I going to do? Those are the kinds of things where you can take it internally and say, here's how I'm going to deal with this. Here's how I'm going to help the situation, instead of going and protesting and saying, oh, someone else needs to pass a law to protect me.
I've got a kid that's going to be in high school now.
Yeah. Fred, you have a kid in high school.
Yes, I do.
Don't you think instead of focusing on her studies and preparing for college, she should be taking CPR classes
and how to respond
to an active shooter?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where she should be
spending CPR? Yeah, because that's what every student should be worried about. Like, during a mass shooting, they should be like, oh, Sally got shot.
What about Sally?
Let's do CPR.
She can't do... She can't do CPR on herself.
Crap, guys. Sally's the only one who took the CPR class. Give me a break. To that, I say, hey, man, that.
Did you guys see that school district in Pennsylvania that were thinking about arming their kids with rocks in case of a...
Oh, God.
In case of a...
school
shooting. That worked out really well for the natives, didn't it?
Yeah. mine is... I'm sure you guys have heard about the whole Cambridge... Analytica whole scandal with the Facebook thing?
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot harder than actually just deactivating your Facebook account, because almost everything, like a lot of the apps that you use, a lot of different websites, maybe even Twitter, or a lot of the websites and apps that you guys use are tied to Facebook. And it's a lot harder to deactivate and not have your information shared and leaked out because these third-party apps that are connected to Facebook are also, they also have your personal information. And it's, you have to do a lot of research, and it's a lot of headache to delete your Facebook. And it's kind of cool to say that you deleted it, but your private information is still out there. And Facebook needs to try to make it easier for people to, I guess, disconnect from Facebook if they want to, but I don't think they're going to. So to that, I say, hey man, fuck that.
All right. Thank you, John.
That was,
I remember when I got off Facebook for a little while, it did feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still have all your personal information.
Yeah.
It's not like it's gone.
I mean, what do they have though?
Oh, somebody got my phone number off of it.
Yeah, you'll get your phone number, your contacts, and everything, addresses, and whatever.
Yeah, which, you know, I don't want people having my phone number,
because it's easy to sign up for something if you just say log in with Facebook instead of going through
and actually going through
and putting your personal information for a different website, and that's how you get your information out there and stolen.
Hey, not that I do a lot of NBA, but, and I know the Bulls are bad, but Rockets minus 18 without Capella and Harden?
Yeah. It's a lot. Don't try to tempt me to bet the NBA.
I know it's wrong of me, and it's against my religion to bet the NBA, but, John, you're the NBA expert. Doesn't that seem a little silly?
I feel like it's a trap.
See, that doesn't help me.
It's a trap!
Hey, is it true that on your bed, do you use a top sheet?
What do you mean?
Like you have the fitted sheet and then a top sheet?
I don't.
Yeah, see, you're a millennial.
Why?
I saw something about that, about millennials and how millennials killed chain restaurants, marriage, and napkins. But when will they acknowledge our greatest takedown yet? Top sheets.
I've never used top sheets.
I don't know a single millennial who uses one. Top sheets are archaic. This is just the truth.
What's the purpose of a top sheet?
When it's too hot in the night and you throw off your blankets, it's good to have the top sheet. Sometimes I sleep with just a sheet.
I mean, I use a thin blanket, and for winters I'll keep like a thicker blanket. But
and here's the other thing. Like, you know, every night when you sleep, all the same grit and grime and dead skin cells and stuff that are going into your bottom sheet are going into your top sheet. So instead, they're going now into some heavy blanket that's much more difficult to wash than a sheet. Have you thought about that?
Not really.
God. I mean, how often do you wash your sheets?
Every week.
How often do you wash your top blanket?
Probably once a month.
See? I mean, I'm just saying. That's it's a big difference.
Yeah, although it's funny, I saw that story, and there's a lot of stuff they blame millennials for killing that's not really that. I mean, millennials didn't kill Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Other industries did. But that one's a little different because it seems odd to me.
Well, and also, I think it's the generation before us that's killing Toys R Us, not millennials.
I mean, it's the internet.
Yeah, but everybody's
blaming. The internet killed Toys R Us.
But people are blaming millennials, which isn't fair. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Really good job by John today. Solid job by AJ. Did okay, too. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll be out at the Hyatt tomorrow. So come out and join us there.
With Phil Garner.
Yeah, with Phil Garner. Stay sports, you bitches.